Glory to God. Welcome, everyone, to Arise Company, where we help people find life, enjoy life, and win in life. We have been on a series called Accessing the Good Life. Accessing the Good Life. And our key scriptures, why? Because we found out that access is important. What God has made available to us also needs to be accessed. So Romans 5:2 says, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Ephesians 2:10 says, for through him we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. And Ephesians 3:12 says this, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through faith. So we found out that the password for us to access the good life is in Christ. In Christ, who we are in Christ. We need to understand who we are in Christ first for us to understand what is available to us. And then we see in Ephesians 2:10 in the Amplified Classic, it says this, talking about the good life, for we are God's own handiwork, his workmanship, recreated in Christ Jesus, born anew, that we may do those good works which God predestined, planned beforehand for us, taking paths which he prearranged or prepared ahead of time that we should walk in them, living the good life which he has prearranged and made ready for us to live. The good life is something that he has prearranged for us. The good life is something that he wants for us. The good life is something that he has already set up for us. He's already planned it out. Hallelujah. And so, we talked about what is good. And there's, we found out in 1 Thessalonians 5:15, it says, pursue what is good. And so we spent some time talking about what's good because people have this idea about what good is. And their idea might be correct. It might be not correct. It might be very limited. So we spent a whole service talking about what is good. And then he said, pursue good. And so if we also talked about, okay, what is good so we know what to pursue. I mean, if some people's idea of what is good is very limited, then their ability to pursue what's good is going to be very limited, right? It's going to be shallow. It's going to be limited. But if we want to be able to pursue, God says pursue what's good. So okay, let's find out what's good so we can actually pursue it all. Pursue everything that's good, not just one thing or three things that are good. Amen. Find out what's good. What does God say is good? And then pursue those things. And then last week we talked about your key, right? Because there's some things you need a password and other things you need a key. We need a key to access, you know. So keys are what open doors, or I could maybe more accurately say it this way. Keys are what unlock doors. So we can access what's on the other side, right? And we talked about my key, my access. Your key, your access, my key, my access. All right, so we have access to what we have the key for. If we don't have a key, we don't have any access. So we began to talk about your key to access the good life and what God has for us. And so we found out that faith is the key. Faith is what gives us access. And it's not just enough to know, we need to believe, but it's not just enough to know and believe, we also need to act then on what we believe and what we know. So that was faith. And so today I want to talk about opening the door. So we've got the door, we've got the key in, we've got it unlocked, but now let's talk about opening the door. And we'll probably end up talking a couple weeks on this, opening the door. Since we found out the key to access all that God has graciously given us is faith, now let's find out how to open the door, right? How do we use the key God gave us to access the good life? And so there is a process. There is a process. And again, the process is this way. Things start with thoughts. Things start with thoughts. And thoughts lead to or produce feelings. And feelings produce actions. And actions produce results. And too many times people are just focusing on changing actions to change results. And the problem with just changing actions to change results is it's short term. It's temporary. Because when we get the result that we want, then over the process of time we revert back to the old thoughts, which again produces some of the old feelings, old actions, old results. And we wonder how we got the 50 pounds back again. How did that get back here? Right? We got rid of 20 pounds, you know, because we just changed some actions. You know, we're doing a 90-day event, a 90-day something to get rid of 20 pounds, and we got rid of the 20 pounds, and then all of a sudden we went back to the old thinking, the old feeling, old actions. Here comes the old 20 pounds again. We did the thing about. You know, stop smoking. We're going to stop smoking, quit smoking. We're not going to stop smoking. Changing actions. And then all of a sudden, you know, we're free. We haven't been free. We've been free from smoking for 6 months or 8 months. And then all of a sudden, a life event hits. Pressure or something happens. And all of a sudden, there's pressure. And we will go back to our old thinking. Because we haven't changed the thinking. We just changed the action. So we changed the action, got a result, but then all of a sudden, when something in life happens, pressure, we go back to the old thinking. How do we used to relieve pressure? Pull out the cigarette. I just need a smoke. You know, something just happened. Ah, I need a smoke. I haven't thought that way for 8 months, but all of a sudden, what happened? Go back to the old thinking to get the old feelings. All of a sudden, it created the old results. And now we're back at, oh, it's just the same process. Whatever situation, circumstance we find in life, whatever result, if we just deal with the action, the result is only temporary. It's short term. So what do we need to do is we actually need to deal with the thoughts. Deal with the thoughts. All of a sudden, it's like, okay, I need to deal with the thought. The thought comes, I need a cigarette, I need a drink, I need something to calm down because there's an event just happened. I mean, it just something just, I don't want that. I don't know what to think. I don't know. I want to escape. We go back to the old thinking. It's like, whoa. I need to now change that. Stop that. No. But we can't just say no, just say no. It's not enough just to say no. We have to say yes to something. And it's easier to say yes to something than no. Because, as the scripture tells us in Galatians, God said it this way, walk in the Spirit and you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So the focus is on the yes and not the no. If all we focus on is no, don't do this, don't do that, don't do this, don't do that. All we're thinking about is that. Don't drink. Don't smoke. Don't run with women to do. Don't chew. So what are we doing? All we're thinking about is the stuff we're not supposed to be thinking about. Right? When I say don't think about a pink elephant dancing, dancing on a roulette table with a tutu on. Don't think about the pink elephant dancing on the roulette table with a tutu on. I said, don't think about that. Quit thinking about the pink elephant dancing on the roulette table. What are you thinking about? So all you're thinking about is the pink elephant because that's all I keep bringing up. You're not supposed to think about it, but I keep bringing it up because I tell... So see that doesn't work. It doesn't work to say don't do this. Don't do that. We might start out with don't do that, but now the next step is, okay, so what am I supposed to do? And let's focus on what we're supposed to do. And we'll forget about what we're not supposed to do. Because we're so focused on what we're supposed to do. Walk in the Spirit, and you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. God did not say, quit doing the lust of the flesh. Just quit doing the lusts of the flesh. It's not what he said. He just said, walk in the Spirit, walk in the Spirit, walk in the Spirit. Just walk in the Spirit, and you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. Just walk in the Spirit, walk in the Spirit, walk in the Spirit. There's enough going on to learn how to walk in the Spirit. There's enough to keep us busy focusing on walking in the Spirit that over the process of time will go, boy, I haven't done that fleshy thing for a long time. Why? Because I'm so focused on doing something instead of not doing something. This is the way it works. We need to change the way we think, because it'll change the way we feel. Then it'll change our results, or our actions, and that will change our results. So there's this process, okay? So it doesn't happen overnight. We would like it to happen overnight. It just generally doesn't happen overnight. Sometimes the process can take longer or shorter. This is the process. So we need to change the way we think. We must renew our minds with God's word to get God's results. Amen? Really, if we want God results, it has to start with God's thoughts. Right? If we want God's results, it must start with God's thoughts. It's not enough just to change our actions, because again, it's only going to be short term. So if we want long term results in our life, we must start with God's thoughts. If we want long term God results, we need to start with God's thoughts. God's thoughts, the renewing of our mind with the Word of God. So we ask the question, when a thought comes, where's that in Scripture? Where's that in Scripture? You've got Scripture and verse for that. And we'll go, I have no idea. Right? We've got so many thoughts going on that we ask ourselves the question, there's just a whole lot of religious stuff. There's a whole lot of just culture stuff. There's just a whole lot of tradition thoughts. Even in the church, it's like, okay, you know, where's the Scripture and verse for that? I don't know. And when you start searching, you know, you grab your Strong's Concordance, and you find out that ain't even in the Bible. What's in the Bible? So then you find out and go, oh, I guess we're going to throw that thought out, right? Get rid of that thought. And what does God say? Let's pick that thought. Let's choose that thought. Let's say that thought. Let's declare that thought. Let's speak that thought. Let's meditate on that thought. Let's keep thinking that thought and allow it to, over the process of time, run the other thought out. Which means over the process of time, thinking God's thought, all of a sudden it'll change the way we feel. All of a sudden the way we feel, we're going to feel different. And then all of a sudden we're going to act different. And then it'll produce a different result. But it starts with God's thought. Speaking of the word and then taking action in line with that word. And that's what we talked about last week, our key, faith. Faith is the key. And so it unlocks the door. And we found out that the first and primary way that we release our faith is through words. We believe what God said and speak it. And then the other actions are tied to that. Whatever it might be, but the primary and first action is to speak. So speak the word and then take action in line with that word. So accessing the good life demands action. Not just believing. Right? Jesus said to Martha, do you believe this? She said, yes, I believe it. And then when he said, roll the stone away, she goes, whoa, 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 whoa. And I like the King James, he stinketh. He stinketh. You know, there might be a lot of stuff in our life that might stinketh. And then he said, no, but listen, if you choose to believe, you'll see the glory of God. You choose to believe, you'll see my power. You choose to believe, you'll get God results. We choose to believe God and act on what he said, we'll get God results. So we might have things in our life that stinketh, but if we get God thoughts, allow those thoughts to change the way we feel. Allow those thoughts to, all of a sudden we take action on those thoughts, his word. It'll produce a wonderful result. a long-term result. Amen? Hallelujah. So, let's go to Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18, and we will probably just, we'll start and finish here. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Luke 18, starting in verse 1. Then he spoke a parable to them, that men, the people, ought always to pray and not to faint or to lose heart. To lose heart. That we ought always to pray and not to faint. And now he's going to begin to, share this parable that has to do with that. Saying there was in a certain city a judge who did not fear God nor regard man. Now there was a widow in that city, and she came to him saying, get justice for me from my adversary. Make things right. Set things right. Get justice for me from my adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I do not fear God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continually coming she weary me. And so we see here that these four words are very, very important. The judge said, I will avenge her. I will avenge her. I will avenge her. This is the key to this whole parable here. I will avenge her. Or this is the result. This is the result that we want. And so Jesus said in verse 6, then the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge said, I will avenge her. And shall not God avenge his own elect who cry out day and night to him, though he bears long with them? And again, we talked about the word cry, doesn't mean to beg, it doesn't mean to whine. It doesn't mean to try to manipulate through crying. You know, some people cry just to manipulate the situation. That's not what this is about. The word cry is the word shout. The word shout. The word shout. And what kind of a shout is it? Well, it's a shout that we bring up day and night. It's a shout that we bring before him. And if you look in verse 8, and you're going to see that this is talking about faith. So I like to say it this way. It's the shout of faith and praise. Right? Because a shout, we're not shouting at God like we're mad. We're not shouting at him because we're frustrated. It's a shout of praise. It's a shout of praise. It's a shout of faith and praise, right? A shout of faith and praise. Why? Because we believe him. We believe him that he will avenge us, right? Jesus said, hear what the unjust judge said, and shall God not avenge his own elect who shout the shout of faith and praise day and night to him, though he bears long with us? In other words, the whole process of bearing long. The word bearing long is the word patient, long-suffering, and patiently adjured. In other words, God is patient with us. In other words, there's this process. This is the process. I call it passing the humility test. It's passing the test. And so this is the process. We renew our mind with the Word of God. We change the way we think. And part of that changing the way we feel is we change the way we think, and we begin to the shout of faith and praise is speaking and declaring what were God's thoughts. The shout of faith and praise, Lord, I want to thank you that I'm healed by the stripes of Jesus. I want to thank you that you're liberally supplying everything I need. Lord, I want to thank you that you are taking care of us. Lord, I want to thank you for wisdom. I want to thank you. Whatever the thought is, whatever God's thought is, that we're trying to lay hold of and renew our mind with, that's the shout of faith and praise. We're shouting that, we're speaking that, we're declaring that, we're lifting that up and thanking God for the result that we want. The result of that thought And that gets us excited. God's thoughts ought to get us excited. Amen? If we believe the word, it should get us excited. Amen? It ought to just stir up some joy because even though we might not be having the result yet, if we believe God's thought, it lets us know what His will and His plan is for us, and it's good. It's good. And so we can see where we're going. Amen? It's like a map or a travel brochure that has all the pictures and everything, and it's like, I'm not there yet. But I can just look at the pictures, and I can see the write-up, and it just gets me excited about going. You know, and we can show our family, and the whole family is just excited. We're not even there yet. We're all excited because we can see, and that's what God's Word does. We take God's thoughts, and it creates this vision and this picture of a result. We might not be there yet, but if we choose to believe this, it gets us excited. It stirs up. We get these feelings, and the feelings cause us to, it produces an action. Amen? See, if you believe the thoughts of the devil, if you believe thoughts of discouragement and fear and condemnation, discouragement, hatred, it produces this feeling. It's just not a nice feeling. It's not a hopeful feeling. It's a discouraging, depressing feeling. And it produces an action. An action that we don't want to take, but it just seems like there's just no hope. And so we take this action because we have no great picture for our future. And so it automatically begins to produce this result of no hope. See, we might have hope, but we get this discouraging thought, this fearful thought. And it takes us to a result that we don't want. But we keep moving in the direction to get that result. Why would we do that to ourselves? Why would we do that to ourselves? It's just a thought. But we move along this process and get the result that we don't want. So let's deal with the thought right off the bat. Right. Let's attack the thought. Because that's not the result we want. That's not the feelings that we want. That's not the actions that we want to take. And so let's deal with the thought. Change a thought. Get the thought. What does God's thoughts say? Because God's thoughts are exciting. God's thoughts are producing a result that we want. God's thoughts, and all of a sudden it produces some exciting feelings, which produce some exciting results. We still haven't even got the result yet. We haven't even got the result yet. We're just taking some action. But why are we taking this action in line with this God thought? We're taking action on this God thought because we want this God result. And too many people get this God thought. Woo! They get excited in church, and then they get this excited feeling, and they're kind of all stirred up, and then all of a sudden, you know, the pressure of the week and the pressure of people and other stuff, all of a sudden it takes them back to this old thought. This old thought. And all of a sudden, you know, by Wednesday we've lost the joy, we've lost the feeling, because we're not even thinking God thought anymore. We're back into the old thought, which is just, I can't believe they said that. I can't believe what this is going on. Old thought, and it produces this old action. This old action, and it takes us to the result that we still don't want. We still don't want this result. So let's take God's thought. Get God's thought. God, you said that. It's written. It is written. Thank you, Lord. You said that. And so I take God's thought, and I just get excited. I get excited. Even though nothing's changed, I choose to get excited. And then I just choose to take some action in line with that because I'm excited because of what he said. I'm just excited. I'm just excited. Yeah, but no, they said that this happened and that. It doesn't matter. It does not matter. Why? Because I'm choosing God's thought and because I want God's result. And we're moving in that direction. And so I'm disciplining myself in my action. How do I discipline myself to take a certain action? I stay focused on God thought. Stay focused on God thought. Amen. Stay focused on God's thought. It keeps stirring up this excitement. And I take this action in line with God's thought. For example, Isaiah 60. So keep your finger here because we're gonna wind down. But Isaiah 60. I'm gonna show you an example that I have, okay, for myself personally. Isaiah 60 verse 4 says this: Lift up your eyes all around and see. They all gather together. They come to you. Your sons come from afar. Your daughters shall be nursed at your side. They shall see and become radiant, and your heart shall swell with joy because of the abundance of the sea shall be turned to you. The wealth of the nations shall come to you. So let me explain this. Lift up your eyes all around and see. See what? See them gathering. Multitudes, according to Acts chapter 6, multitudes gathering together. That's the opposite of an exodus. The opposite of an exodus is multitudes gathering together and coming to us. Gathering together to come to you. They're coming from where? They're from afar, from all around. From all around. And the word to be nursed at your side in the Hebrew means to be built up. To be built up at your side. And it's so exciting and thrilling. Why? Because verse 5 says, the abundance of the sea. Now the sea is a reference of people. That's a multitude of people. Talking about the sea. An abundance of people shall turn to you, and the abundance of wealth shall come to you. So now, as a pastor and as a minister, so our ministry and our church, this is God's thought for me. This is what he said. I look at this and go, Lord, I lift up my eyes. I lift up my eyes all around and I look and I see. This is what I need to see. I don't need to see empty chairs. I need to see this. Lift up my eyes and look all around. Because of the abundance of people, an abundance of people, a multitude of people are gathering together and coming to us from all over to be built up at our side. It's so exciting and thrilling. Why is it so exciting and thrilling? God said it's exciting and thrilling. Why? Because of the abundance of people that are turning to us and the abundance of wealth that comes to us. So I don't look at what it looks like. We're not experiencing the result yet. But we're in this process. God's thoughts. I lift up my eyes. And I see multitudes of people gathering together and coming to us from all over, all around. And it's so exciting and thrilling. See, now I've stepped into the feelings. As I'm meditating and thinking and speaking this, and Lord, I want to thank you. I just want to thank you for the multitudes of people gathering and coming to us to be built up at our side. Whoo! Glory to God. It's exciting. And so then it makes me, and it positions me to take action to get that result. See, if all I did was get discouraged because of what I see in the natural, then the feeling will be discouragement, and the feeling will be, let's just do nothing, nothing's working. Ah, forget it. Just go somewhere else. And I'll get the result I don't want. But I lift up my eyes. I look all around. Lord, I want to thank you. According to your word, I see multitudes of people gathering together and coming to us to be built up at our side. It's so exciting and thrilling. Hallelujah. Why? Because you said the abundance of people that are turning to us and the abundance of wealth that comes to us. So now I begin to take action with that picture in mind. With that result in mind, I start taking action. We start taking action to get this result. Now that we're almost moved here, we're going to see some actions. We're going to start taking some actions, not just thinking about the actions. We're going to start taking the actions. We've been taking some actions from afar, but now we're going to be here and we're starting to take some actions. Taking some actions to get that result. But can you see from that exalt that example that it starts with a thought? I have to get God's thought. God's thoughts from His Word. And I just didn't make this up. And so when I say, Lord, I want to thank you for the abundance of people turning to us and the abundance of wealth that comes to us, someone sitting out here might go, yeah, see, it's just all about the money. No, it's about God's thought. It's about God's thought. So I really don't care what people think. So I'm not going to say that everywhere, but I'm letting you know, if you ever hear me say that, it's because this is God's thought. God is the one that said it's so thrilling and exciting. Why? Because of the abundance of people that are turning to us and the abundance of wealth that comes to us. People and money, people and money. The people will come and the money will come. The people will come and the money will come. There will never be a shortage of people and never be a shortage of money. There will always be more than enough. Hallelujah. Why am I saying that? Because that's God's thought. God just said, that's what God said. This is my thought. So I choose His thought. And it gets me excited. Even though I don't see, we're not experiencing the result at that level, I'm excited. Taking action. So find your God thought. Find your God thought for whatever area you are. Get excited about it. The shout of faith and praise. Amen? The shout of faith and praise continually, day and night. Why? Because God said here, Jesus Himself said, shall God not avenge His own elect who cry out day and night, who shout the shout of faith and praise to Him though day and night, though it bear long with them. So there's this process. It takes time. Don't give up because it takes time. Don't cave in. Don't lose heart. Don't faint. That's what verse 1 says. That we ought always to pray and not faint. Don't give up. Don't cave in. Why? Because it's a process and it just takes time. Just takes time. So you know what? If it takes 5 days, if it takes 5 weeks, if it takes 5 months, if it takes 5 years, if it takes 50. I mean, you know, it's just, listen, time is going on anyways, right? It's just ticking along. We might as well do something to produce the result we want over the process of time than doing nothing and getting the result we don't want. And all of a sudden, 5, 10 years, 20 years later, go, man, I wish I did something back in the day, because I might have been living in my dream right now instead of just dreaming about it or just hoping about it. I mean, you know what I'm saying? Time is going along anyways. So let's just take advantage of the time. Use it to our advantage. Verse 8. I tell you that He will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will He really find faith on the earth? Again, this is all about faith. This is about using the key, getting it in the lock, turning it, unlocking the door. But now that the door is unlocked, what are we supposed to be doing? It's the shout of faith and praise. It's the shout of faith and praise day and night. The shout of faith and praise day and night. It's the shout of faith and praise day and night. It's renewing our mind with the Word of God, changing the way how we feel, changing the way how we act in order to change the result that we have or the result to get the result that we want. Amen? Opening the door. We're talking about opening the door. It's not enough just to have the door unlocked. But now how do we open the door to get the God results that we want. We must renew our minds with the Word of God to get God's results. And so, next week we're going to talk about another action that flows in line with this that we haven't talked about before, and it's going to be very exciting. Psalm 37, verse 4 says this, "Delight yourself in the Lord, and He'll give you the desires of your heart." And so we'll talk about that next week. Hallelujah.